Well, good morning again. It is good to be with you to celebrate Easter this year. Last year was a lot different than this. A lot of you guys last year were probably still in your pajamas sitting on the couch watching. And when we prepared the Easter service last year, it was the room was empty and we were pre-recording and it was interesting. So we are glad to be back together, to be able to share the stage this morning with Brandon and his son and Brandon's mom, three generation of Stalls leading us in worship this morning, and my kiddos and longtime friends and longtime church members. I pray that you are blessed and encouraged this morning through our worship of praise. I want to ask you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 20. If you don't have your Bible in paper fashion, you can go. If you don't have an app on your phone, you can do the YouVersion app. And you open up the YouVersion, you can click on events. Our church should pop up. If you hit that, it gives you all of the scripture. It gives you an opportunity for prayer requests. It gives you an opportunity to ask questions or to see the notes in the scripture for today. I pray this morning, though, as has been prayed and said several times already, that this morning, regardless of what you came from, walked into, walked in carrying, this morning we pray that you haven't already, that you have an encounter with the risen King this morning. Have you ever wondered what it was like on that original Easter morning for all those people who had just seen Jesus on the cross and placed in a tomb? Have you ever wondered what it was like for a Mary Magdalene, Apostle Peter, James and John, those sons of thunder that we read about, Thomas, all those other early believers who so badly wanted to believe that the Jesus that they had been following around for part or all of 3 years was the Messiah? They wanted him to be the one that was going to deliver them, the one that had been prophesied for hundreds of years that was coming. They wanted so much to believe in him. And then Friday happened. And they saw that great teacher, that miraculous healer, hung on a tree and die. And if they stuck around long enough, maybe they saw Joseph take him down off the cross and place him in a tomb. And they saw all that. And man, I know it's 24 hours, but Saturday seems so long. The silence, the wondering, the anxiety, the anxiousness. And then we wake up on Sunday morning and we pick up with Mary going to the tomb to anoint the body of her fallen teacher and leader with oil and with spices. And this begins the start of these encounters, one by one and group by group, of men and women who have encounters with the risen King. If you have your Bibles, and we're going to be in chapter 20, I encourage you to take the time, if not today, sometime this week, to read these chapters in full, read them slowly, let it sink in. Put yourself in the places of the men and the women in these chapters as they experience Jesus for the first time since they saw him hanging on a cross. Walk slowly through the scripture. If you're visiting here, we have something called a one sheet that takes our Sunday morning service and message and lengthens it. It gives you scriptures and questions and things to think about throughout the week. You can get that off of our website. We encourage you to do that, to expand these 30-so minutes together in God's Word throughout the entire week. But as we take a quick walk through these two chapters, I want you just to notice a few people. I want you to notice Mary Magdalene. The first time we meet Mary, she's not herself. She's not her own mentally, spiritually, physically. She has been possessed by demons. And Jesus releases her. This is the lady who is now coming to see Jesus in the tomb. You have, right after that, she meets Simon Peter and the beloved apostle, or the apostle that Jesus loved, right, or John. And remember the last time that Peter saw Jesus? The last time those two made eye contact? He had just said, "I don't know him." for the third time. And their eyes met, and Peter ran away weeping bitterly. And now you have Peter and John in an all-out foot race to get to the tomb. And because John wrote the book, he makes sure to point out that he beat Peter to the tomb. But think of that encounter between Peter the denier and Jesus. If you go a little bit further, he meets with some more of the disciples, but one of them's not there. Thomas is not there, but he meets with Thomas a little bit later. Now, it's only been 2,000 years. You think we could drop this a little bit because Thomas does some good stuff, but we still refer to Thomas today as Doubting Thomas. Why? Because he couldn't take just Mary or Peter or John or the other apostles' word for it. He had to see Jesus. He says, I'm not going to believe unless I can take my finger and put it in the wound marks in his wrists and take my hand and place it on his side where they stabbed him with a sword. I can't believe until I see that. That was Thomas. Imagine being able to touch the hands of the Savior who died for you and was now standing fully alive in front of you. Think of James and John, these guys that we know as the sons of thunder, not because their dad's name was Thunder, but because they had short fuses. They were men of short tempers. Imagine those men meeting Jesus. All the other apostles as well. All those early believers encountering Jesus. Man, they had wanted to believe before, but now they couldn't. If we go a little bit further over into the book of Luke, you meet this guy named Cleopas and his traveling buddy, and they're leaving town. They're talking about all that they have seen, and then this guy sort of joins their conversation, just sort of jumps right in line with them as they're traveling. They don't know who he is until they share a meal together and their eyes are open, and they realize it's Jesus who's been talking to them this entire time. Imagine how different their lives were after encountering the risen King. You can go a little bit further and you meet this guy named Saul who changed his name to Paul, who was guilty of persecuting those who loved Jesus. And he had an encounter on a road that changed his life forever. And you can look all through John. You can flip over to Luke and back to Matthew and Mark and to Acts and to the Corinthian letters and to all the epistles. And you can read and you can see person after person who encountered the risen King. But who do you not see in all of the accounts? You don't see who was once one of Jesus' closest disciples, who was entrusted with carrying the money bag around. You don't see him. You don't see Judas Iscariot. Do you remember the story? Right after, a few days ago, after they celebrated Passover together, Judas betrayed Jesus, led those who had been trying to put Jesus to death for a while now straight to him and betrayed him with a kiss. He accepted the lies of Satan and he sold the Savior over. He was sorry about it. Man, was he sorry. He tried to take the money back, but they wouldn't accept it. He couldn't deal with the guilt, with the shame, with the burden that he was carrying around. And unfortunately, he did not wait. He did not give Jesus the 3 days that Jesus said that he would be back before he took matters into his own hand and ended his life. Judas did not get to experience, did not get to encounter Jesus because Judas believed that his sin, that he was too far gone for Jesus to save him. The only way you miss out on the amazing gift of grace is to become a type of Judas, to be so prideful or so self-loathing or so resistant to Jesus that you won't allow yourself to come to him. The only one not encountering the risen King is the one who believed his sin was greater than Jesus' love. Judas was so overwhelmed. He was broken by his guilt and driven to that point of no return. Because the Bible is full of broken and ruthless and shameful and outcast people whose lives were changed by Jesus. But Judas thought he had gone too far, and he didn't give Jesus a chance. What was true then is still true today. The only one today not encountering the risen King is the one who believes that his sin is greater than Jesus' love. The only one who thinks, the one who thinks they're too sick or too bad or too lost or too unlovable for Jesus to chase them down is the one who misses out. And if any of those descriptors are you this morning, I want to take you back to those men and women who encountered Jesus on Easter morning or shortly after. Mary Magdalene, again, consumed and controlled by demons. And back earlier in the story of Jesus, Jesus heals her, and she is a devoted follower ever since. She's still not controlled by herself, but now she's controlled by Jesus. An encounter with Jesus changed her life. Even the good person, even that beloved disciple, John, even that good guy wasn't good enough to get back to God on his own. He needed Jesus to step into his role. You cannot be good enough to garner the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It has to be given to you. You must encounter Jesus. You have Thomas the doubter. He says, unless I see, unless I touch, I'm not going to believe. And that's a lot like us. We have to see proof. We think that we're so analytical that we have to have everything laid out in front of us, that all the pieces of the puzzle fit perfectly together, or we're not going to believe. You know what I think Jesus says to that? Bring it on. That you can go to Barnes & Noble's, if that's still a thing. You can go to Amazon.com, and you can find book after book of men and women who were devout atheists, haters of God, who when they tried to write a book or a journal so that other people would follow their lead and rebel against God, they themselves became believers because the proof is irresistible. Jesus says, bring your analytical mind. I can stand up to it. An encounter with Jesus will save the Thomases among us. And what about that James and John who had these short-fused people? Is that you? They were a little bit power hungry if they were anything like Mama. She came and said, hey, Jesus, can my boys, can they sit at your right and left hand when we get to heaven? And Jesus said, that's not for me. Those two men were changed because of an encounter with Jesus. And you can go back and you can read early church history and you can see that James and John did some amazing things for the kingdom. What about this other apostle? His name was Nathanael in some places or Bartholomew in others. He was very hesitant. When they said, hey, come and see this rabbi, come and see this teacher, this man Jesus. He's from Nazareth. He's like, yeah, right. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was very hesitant. What about Peter? Now, if you attend here very often, you know that we talk a whole lot about the Apostle Peter because we can see him grow up in front of our eyes in Scripture. Peter had the spiritual gift of sticking his foot in his mouth over and over. And even on the day when Jesus was betrayed, right, he pulls out his sword and cuts off a guy's ear. And once upon a time, he said, Jesus, everybody else may leave you, but I'll stick with you. I will never leave you. That was until a little servant girl, as scary as she was, says, hey, don't you belong to him? And he's like, I do not know the man. That man, history tells us, was crucified upside down because of his faith and commitment, because of an encounter with Jesus. You have the Apostle Paul. If there was one word that we would use to describe the Apostle Paul today, it would be terrorist. He was hauling off men and women who believed in Jesus to jail, to be tortured, to be killed. But he had an encounter with Jesus. There's this amazing scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul is writing, and he writes these words. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And here is the gospel in a nutshell: that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas, who was Peter, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of them who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, his brother. We'll get to him in just a second. Then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul had an encounter with Jesus that not only changed his life, changed the life of millions of people because of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about James just for a second. James, not the apostle, but James the half-brother. Mary and Joseph had other kids after God and Mary had a kid. And when they were growing up, can you imagine what it was like living in the same house with Jesus, the Son of God? Try blaming something on him. And as Jesus started to teach publicly and do things, his brothers and sisters, his siblings, thought he was off his rocker. One time he thought Jesus was a whack job, and he said he is out of his mind. I think that he may have repented of that a little bit later. But can you imagine this, James, after you had seen your brother crucified and dead on a cross, going about your daily business, and then I don't know how it happened. Maybe he snuck up behind him, right, and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Hey, James." Can you imagine? I think it's fun to scare Gretchen Hammer when she's working around the building here. But can you imagine walking up behind somebody? Jesus walking up behind somebody? James. Real quickly, you want to take back those words that you said before. James became a leader in the Jerusalem church. He wrote part of the New Testament. An encounter with the risen king changed his life forever. Because James was changed, I'm changed, because I go to the book of James and I see all of this wisdom that flows from God through Jesus, through his brother, to us. Lives changed because of an encounter. And I want you to think just of that group of 12 apostles that Jesus chose. You had Simon the Zealot, you had Matthew the tax collector. Simon the Zealot, he was a nationalist. He loved God right here. He loved country way up here. He wanted nothing more than for Jesus to come and annihilate Rome and deliver Jerusalem and Israel from Rome's control. He loved God. He loved country. Imagine how those conversations went in that traveling caravan when you have Matthew, the tax collector, who sold his soul in people's eyes to Rome to collect taxes for Rome from the Jewish people. Can you imagine dinner around the fire and the conversation that took place during those 3 years? But yet the zealot and the turncoat both had their lives changed by encounters with Jesus Christ. The pages of Scripture are ripe with men and women who didn't deserve Jesus, who didn't deserve what he had to offer, who didn't measure up, who doubted, who messed up, who failed, who killed, who crucified, who turned their backs on, who just plain weren't worthy. But that's okay. Because on Easter morning and today, it wasn't a perfect people coming to a dead Savior. No. It was a perfect Savior coming back for dead people. I got a question for you. It's pass fail. What can dead people do? Nothing. They lay there. A dead person cannot do anything. Yes, that's how we're described. And just as Adam never moved until God blew into his nostrils and gave him life, the same is true for me and you. We are dead in our sin, and we are nothing until Jesus breathes his spirit into us. Dead people can do nothing, but thankfully, and that's the good news of the gospel, we don't have to. Jesus does that for you. That's why he came for you. There's nothing you can do to earn Jesus' love. There's no amount of goodness that you can obtain to walk back into the good graces of God. But there's also nowhere you can run that you will be outside of God's pursuit. We just studied for a month Jonah. Jonah tried his gut-level best to get away from God, and God chased him down, all the way down to the bottom of the sea, and sent a fish to rescue. God sent Jesus down, all the way down to Calvary, to chase us down. And he went to the cross, and he delivered us from our sins as well. There's nowhere that we can hide that he won't hunt us down. Jesus came to do all that we could not do. He came to live a perfect life because we sure couldn't do it. He came to die a death that should have been ours because of our sins, but he took our sins to Calvary's cross, and because his life was perfect, he became the perfect sacrifice so that when he died, he defeated death forever. When he walked out of that tomb 2,000 years ago this morning, he conquered Satan forever so that he would never have to go again and we would never have to go again through a sacrifice for sin. He was the final sacrifice for our sin. And they stuck him in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He only used it for a couple of days until he walked out Easter morning, carrying our redemption with him. He walked out of that tomb to save you. And church, I want you to hear me this morning. It doesn't matter if you're a cheater, a liar, an addict, an alcoholic. Jesus came for you. It doesn't matter if you're a perfect picture of fitness or your body is being wrecked by disease. Jesus came for you. It doesn't matter if you've messed up every relationship you have ever been in. Jesus came for you. It doesn't matter if you struggle with lust of the opposite sex or if you have a same-sex attraction. Jesus came for you. It doesn't matter if you spent your entire life doubting him, spitting in his face. Jesus came for you. For you. It doesn't matter if you have a list of questions about faith and religion as long as your arm, so do I. Jesus came for you. It doesn't matter if you have questions about this thing called religion, join the crowd, so does your pastor. But Jesus didn't come to offer you religion, he came to offer you a relationship. He came for you. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're unworthy, you are. So is the person sitting on both sides of you. But Jesus came for you to make you worthy. You say, I don't have the strength to come to him. That's okay. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, went to Calvary, went to the tomb, walked out of the tomb for you. You do not have to go anywhere. You say, but my heart is broken. Jesus said, just like he said to Jonah, that's exactly how your heart needs to be so I can come in and fix it and heal it forever. You say, but others can't love me. Jesus says, my love's better. You say, but life is so rough. My burdens are so big. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy, and my burden is light. You say, but I don't know what to do. I don't know the way. That's fine. It's a one-word answer to that. It's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is your answer. Church, this morning, on this Easter morning, before you walk home or drive home or go to grandma's house or to your parents' house for an Easter celebration or whatever you have, before you do that, do not miss your chance to encounter your King. Jesus and his love are the best thing for you, regardless of the place that you find yourself today. The world wants to beat you down, to steal your soul, to your happiness, to confuse you and your love. Jesus says, my love is better. His love pushed him through the cross for you. His love compelled him to accept the punishment for our sins so that you could accept the gift and the privilege of his perfection. so that we could become his sons and his daughters. His conquering love is what we need to be victorious in this life. It is the only thing that will make us victorious in this life, over sin, over death, over eternity. His better love desires for you to come to him. Begin your encounter with your King, your loving King who loved you so much that he willingly went to Calvary's cross for you. If you have never encountered the King, I pray you do today. Maybe through a song, maybe through what Scott said for leading into communion, maybe through a prayer, maybe through scripture that Angie read. Maybe you've had this whisper that continues in your ear. Don't ignore that whisper. That is the Spirit of God pulling you, wooing you, encouraging you to surrender. Now, surrender is a weird thing because we think when we surrender, we're losers. No. Biblically, surrender is what secures our freedom. When we come and we're able to throw off the shackles of sin and death forever. And there's nothing in this book that says, hey, pray this, read this, stand on your left leg and touch your nose and repeat after me. There's nothing like that in this book. Your surrender is going to look different than the person next to you because the things you struggle with, the life that you have lived, is different than the people around. And all it takes is for you to stand before Jesus and say, I'm done. I have screwed this up for long enough. I have banged my head against the wall for long enough. I have failed enough times of trying to make myself good enough, of trying to live a good enough life. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I need you. I want you to be my master, my Lord. And that's when he comes and dwells in you. And then from that moment on, little by little, he transforms you through his Spirit into a more perfect image of Jesus. If you have never surrendered to Jesus today, please don't leave this room without doing that. Now, if you have, maybe in this last year you have put Christ on in baptism and we have celebrated and you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, maybe in the last year, maybe in the last decade, maybe 4 decades ago, you have accepted Jesus. Examine yourselves. Have you fully surrendered to your King? Do you look different today than you did last week, last month, last year, last decade, depending on how long you've been a believer? Do you need to readjust some things in your life so that you are daily surrendering to the Spirit in the most minute detail of your life, refocusing and resurrendering to the one who saved you? This morning, only you know how you need to respond. Maybe it's just between you and your Father. Maybe today you've never accepted Christ. That's between you and your God. But I want to tell you this, and I want to encourage you with this. As soon as you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a target hung on your back. Because as soon as you become Jesus, Satan wants you back, and he will come after you relentlessly. So while it is a private thing between you and your Father, we encourage you to let somebody else know because you're going to need a fighting buddy. We would like to know as a church so that we can have your back in your walk with Christ. We would like to know that you've accepted Christ so we can talk about going into the waters of baptism so that the entire community of faith knows that you belong to Jesus Christ. So as we sing this song, this next song, if you need to surrender to Jesus, do that. There's going to be men around the room, and up front and in the back. And so for those of you who don't recognize who our deacons are, they'll be holding one of these tablets. If you need to pray with somebody, if you have questions about something, go and find one of these men. Just if you don't see them when you start walking, they'll be in these two corners and those two corners as we sing this final song. However, you need to surrender this morning. Please do that. Because beyond being moved by beautiful music, by hearing words from a song read, scripture from a song read, we want to make sure that you truly encounter your King this morning. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thank you for today. God, thank you that we're able to have the opportunity to celebrate Easter morning in person with brothers and sisters this morning. And God, regardless of whether we're here or whether we are at home still watching over TV and internet, God, we pray that this morning we encounter your Son. God, if there's somebody in this room who has not placed their faith in him, allow now to be that time. If somebody needs prayer, allow them to seek out one of our deacons or pastors who will be in this room ready to pray with them and talk with them. God, if we need to come forward and have the church pray, if we need to come forward and just pray privately at the cross, God, allow us to be moved by your Spirit and obedient to your Spirit in this time of response. God, right now, just bear our hearts before you. Allow us to lay everything at the foot of the cross. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond as Jesus calls you.
Every time.
you have a seat just for a second, church? We have just a little bit more to accomplish and celebrate this morning before we head off to whatever Easter festivities we have. We would like you to know that if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to make this your home. If you do not attend Wednesday evening, we want to encourage you to attend our Wednesday evening. We have something for all of our kiddos, for our middle school students, and on up for Bible study. We start a new series this Wednesday. It was going to be something called Woulda Shoulda, something we all could have benefited from. Like, I would have said this in a situation. I should have said this. We're going to delay that for a little bit. But we're still starting a new series on Wednesday called Is That Really In There? Just looking at some of the weird, obscure things in Scripture and why they're in there. What do they teach us about God and about salvation? So we'd love to have you join us on Wednesdays. On next Sunday, Scott is starting a new series called Make Room. I'm going to encourage you to be here, but I'm also going to encourage you to wear closed shoes because I believe your toes will be stepped on just a little bit during that series. So I pray that you will be back for that as well. We have two things that we would like to do this morning. One, Aaron, would you come this way with your family? I want to introduce you to Aaron White. This is Aaron's last Sunday with us for a while. He is leaving soon to go up to the Chicago area for basic training. He's going to go, and then he'll be going up to the Groton, Connecticut area. So we did something. We had our pastoral staff and our deacons highlight some verses in Scripture for you, and we want to give this to you. And first of all, we want to say thank you for serving our country the way that you're going to for the next several years. I want to ask our deacons, if they would, to come up this way so that we can just surround this family and pray over them before Aaron takes off. But then while they're making their way this way, we want to show you one of our other servers of our country who has just a message of thanks to you. So Danny, could you play Ryan for us?
Hey, good morning, FBC Williamstown family. This is Major Wolf reporting here from a undisclosed location in the Middle East. I want to start off by saying thank you all for the support that you've given my family while I've been gone. Thank you for the care packages here. That's been great. And stop sending those care packages because I'm that close to coming home. So like I said, just thanks for the prayers and the encouragement. Keep that coming. And I look forward to getting home and seeing my family and reuniting with everybody. So thanks and have a great day.
Ryan's wife, Brandy, and one of their sons was in our choir this morning, and I know they're excited about dad and husband coming home soon. I'm going to ask that you would stand. We're going to pray over Aaron and his family, and then we're going to sing one last song. And we cannot celebrate Easter morning without saying thank you to our God. And that's what we're going to do in our final song. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for today. God, thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the risen King this morning. God, we are so thankful that we can be your sons and daughters because of the gift of grace, because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave us. And God, we are thankful for the way that you have taken care of Ryan and his company so far and ask that you would just continue that for just a little while longer until you bring him home. God, today we pray a blessing on Aaron as he gets ready to leave and to serve his country. And God, we pray that you would keep this young man close to your heart. Encourage him with Scripture. Encourage him with a good church home wherever you lead him. God, just use his talents and his ability to serve those around him and to serve your kingdom. Be with mom and dad and siblings as this departure is soon to come. Keep them focused on each other, dedicated to praying for each other, and dedicated to you. God, we just pray that you would bless this next season of life for Aaron. And God, above every other success that he has in life and in serving his country, we pray that you would make him a successful soldier for your kingdom. Father God, we love you. Thank you for this young man, and thank you for your spirit that lives in him. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.